all, particularly our guests who join us here today for this Mass on the third Sunday of Lent. We'll be having, after the homily, an in-pew survey where people will pass out the forms. The survey is developed by members of the parish council to help us begin our pastoral planning for the future. This survey is also available online at the parish website. So we'll give you a few moments after the homily to respond to the survey. It's anonymous, and then we'll ask you to then place it in the collection basket. We'll be following the survey up with a series of small group meetings. They'll be starting in the coming weeks. Next Sunday, we'll be offering the anointing of the sick after all of the Masses, and we'll talk more about that next weekend. And also next Sunday, Father James Friedel will be with us. He is an Augustinian friar and priest who will be leading our parish mission that begins a week from today. So we'll be preaching all the Masses, we'll be leading our parish mission that begins next weekend. It'll be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Child care will be provided. So I encourage you to at least set one evening aside to come to the parish mission, and also to reach out to others that you know that may not, for whatever reason, be active in their faith or have no church home, to come and join us for our Lenten mission here at the Madeleine. Now, I have a question this morning for our school-aged children. I know that a lot of you got at least one snow day last week. And some of you got two snow days, Wednesday and Thursday. So my question for you, have you thanked Jesus for that snow day or days? Because if you haven't, here's the time. You got your chance right now at this Mass to offer prayer of thanksgiving for it. So now another question to the parents of our children who had at least one snow day. Did you thank Jesus that Friday was not a snow day? That you got to send the children off to school? And I'm sure our teachers and school administrators were very popular people on Friday morning. So if you have not yet thanked Jesus for that gift of Friday, so please do so at this Mass. And to our homeschool families, sorry. Not so much in the way of snow days for you, but I guess the saying goes, it is what it is. But we thank Jesus nonetheless for all the gifts that are bestowed upon us. Here at the parish, Wednesday was pretty much a snow day, except for confessions and Mass that evening, and people did show up for both. We pretty much canceled everything. The office, in effect, was closed. Just had a handful of phone calls that day. It gave me the opportunity to sort out through the piles of stuff on my desk and elsewhere in my office. Just kind of sort things out. About to sort them out, what needs immediate attention, what's important, what is not, what needs to be filed away, and what needs to be thrown away, what needs to go into the recycling bin. And so my desk this morning is pretty much clear. Now, how long it stays that way, you can place your bets. We will see. Getting things into their right place that's a good use of a snow day, if you have that opportunity. It's also, I think, a good way to use the time of Lent. These 40 days, these 6 weeks of a special time of penance, prayer, acts of charity, to aid in purifying our hearts and minds. We hear that phrase or something like it appear over and over again in the liturgy during Lent. The purification, the preparation of our hearts and minds for Holy Week and for Easter. An opportunity to sort out in our lives what's important, what needs to be filed away, and what needs to be thrown away. A viable guide to this kind of sorting is what we hear in the scriptures today, particularly about what it means to live a moral and spiritual life in Christ, what needs to be purified within us. First, we hear of the Ten Commandments. Now, note, they're called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Recommendations. The Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. The Ten Commandments, not the Ten, well, I'll think about it and get back with you next week. The Ten Commandments. What needs to be put in the right place, the right order, for the basis of a moral and spiritual life in Christ. And some other things about the nature of these commandments, that we make a great mistake, I believe, if we think of them simply in a legalistic way, following the law, like paying our taxes on time, driving the speed limit, other things like that, that if we follow the law, everything will be fine. I think instead we should look at the commandments as relational, about a relationship with God, a relationship with each other. And notice the first three commandments deal with that relationship with God, and the next seven about our relationship with each other. It's no accident then that the first commandment is about having God as the highest value. Everything else flows from it. Now we can all say, oh yes, yeah, I follow that commandment, but Lent I think is a good time for us to sort through some things to make sure that that's the case. Because if you want to make sure that's the case, just take a look at what it is that's most important in our lives. What is it that has the highest value? Where is the center of gravity? Because wherever the center of gravity is, in effect, that is what is worshipped. And usually it's a god with a small g that's worshipped. Everybody has a center of gravity that is acknowledged in worship, the most militant atheist included. For whatever is at the center of our, what's most important, that's the God that we bow down and worship. And if it's not God with the large G that's at the center, then something else or someone else will be. And often that someone else is our own ego. And when that happens, the moral and spiritual life fall apart. And we commit adultery, making something out of God that is not God. Having God at the center of gravity, the highest value, then it has to be backed up by what we say. Do we speak of God with reverence? Do we speak of God with respect? It also be backed up by acts, concrete acts of worship. That's the importance of the Sunday Mass for us as Catholics. In reflecting on the Ten Commandments, Father Robert Barron, I think he puts it very well. He says that the importance of a day of worship is that without it, God becomes an abstraction. And then very quickly, God becomes irrelevant. Without a concrete day of worship, concrete acts of worship, God becomes an abstraction and then quickly becomes irrelevant. You see, God and faith and worship, it's all relational. And if it's not, it becomes an abstraction, and then it doesn't really mean much at all. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the 16th century priest and founder of the Jesuits, said that about getting things in their right place, of a life in Christ, that we are to reverence, worship, and serve the Lord God, and thus save our souls. That's the primary function of who we are called to be. And the primary, as he puts it, is eternal. It's permanent. It lasts forever. And everything else is secondary. And if it's secondary, then it is temporary. It sooner or later fades away. That includes our own physical bodies and appearance. I'll give you an example that's a bit close to home for me. I sometimes find myself looking at someone with dark brown hair and looking at their hair. And I catch myself doing that, and I'll tell you what's going on, my thought process when that happens. And that is along the lines of looking at that person with the dark brown hair and thinking, my hair used to be that color. Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, but not anymore. Hair color is secondary. It's temporary, passes away. Other things pass away as well. Our youth, our wealth, our social status, our politics, and even our nation states. I don't want to ruffle too many feathers, but you know that includes our own country. The United States had a beginning. It has a middle, and someday it will have an end. Everything that is secondary passes away sooner or later. It's been so with every other nation, it will be so with ours. And whenever we take something that is secondary about our lives and try to make it into something that is primary, instead of that primary, the reverence and worship and service of God, things fall apart. Sin enters in and we are committing an act of adultery. Our relationships with each other flow from our relationship with God. And if that relationship with God is in the right place, then the others should fall into place as well. To be in the right place with our relationship with others includes being faithful to our family commitments, being faithful to a spouse. To be in the right place in a relationship with others means that we don't intentionally take a human life. To do so is to act as if we are God. Now, as a church, we allow the exception when it comes to legitimate self-defense. And when we do allow for that exception, the important question must be asked. Is that it? And that question is, when do we have to take a human life? That's different from the common cultural attitude about this commandment, which is basically the question becomes, when do we get to take a human life? When do we get to be God and have the power to take away the life of another? Instead, we have to ask, when do we have to take a human life in order to preserve the good out of self-defense? A very important distinction. For getting things right in the right place also means not to steal. Not just the material things that someone else has, but also their reputation. We can take that away through slander and gossip. Nor should we desire what we don't really need. What others may have, but we don't really need at all. See, the heart of the Ten Commandments, what is referred to as often as the law in the New Testament, it's not legalistic, it's relational. The heart of the law is the love of God and neighbor. That's why Jesus, when he's asked what is the greatest of all the commandments, he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why Jesus cleanses the temple in Jerusalem. That place of worship where God and humanity meet in love has been corrupted. You know, we've heard that phrase, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And today's gospel reminds us that knocking over tables and driving out people with a knotted cord is within the realm of possibilities. Jesus cleanses the temple to prepare for a new temple, himself. He becomes the focus of our praise, worship, and service. That's what Lent challenges us to return to, and it's done through his cross and resurrection, that stumbling block to some, that absurdity, that foolishness to others. We are called during this special time of Lent to sort out what in us must be cleansed, what must be thrown out, what is the most important thing in our lives. It's part of our ongoing conversion to the gospel. So when we open to this grace that's offered to us, this cleansing of our lives, this seeing what is the very center of gravity for us, that we, with hearts and minds made pure, may enter into Holy Week and Easter.